Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. What happens to all of the food prepared in a restaurant that isn't eaten by the end of the night? Maybe staff take it home for their families, or someone gives it to a person experiencing homelessness in the neighborhood. But the reality is, most of the time, it is thrown away. In fact, between 30 and 40% of food supply is never eaten in the United States. That's an estimated 133 billion pounds of food wasted. My guest today, Hunter G, is doing his part to stop this waste and to feed hungry people in his community. Hunter is a perfect example of one person doing one simple thing to make a big difference. Welcome back, everyone. I am super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Hunter. He is a warrior in the food waste, food insecurity space, which is so, so important. I've had lots of guests on the podcast who talk about this, but it really, it is something we could talk about every day, unfortunately. And so I'm excited to hear Hunter's story. Hey, Hunter, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Thanks so much for being here. So can you start off by telling us how old you are, where you live, what grade you're in, all that good stuff, and then start from the very beginning. How did this journey, how did this passion start for you?
Yeah, of course. I'm Hunter Guthrie. I'm from Vienna, Virginia, and I go to James Madison High School. And in 5 days, can't really believe it, but going into senior year.
Wow. So finishing it. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you. As for how I got started, this goes back 5 years, actually. It goes back a while. But I was in the car with my mom, and we were driving somewhere, and we drove past someone who was holding a sign, and they were really struggling to carry their belongings behind them. And they had a really big and bulky sleeping bag, and it looked like it was a real burden for them to carry. And on the way, like as we drove past, I kind of thought that there had to be a better way for them to have something to sleep on, but at the same time, not be so heavy to the point that it was a burden for them to carry. So when I got home, I did a little bit of research, and I discovered that if you take plastic bags, you can crochet and knit them into plastic yarn. It's called plarn. And you, from there, you can either crochet it into plastic mats, which can be used for people to sleep on, and it's lightweight, or you can ship them off somewhere else. So I first started by shipping them off to the Lafayette Plarn Project, but then I decided to try and do it myself so that I wouldn't need to pay for all the shipping costs. So I started doing that myself until Virginia, good old Virginia, started implementing a charge for plastic bags. So I was not able to just take them from the grocery stores. So that kind of turned me away from that. But I still wanted to help my community. So I then started looking for other ways to serve my community. And when I was at a library, I saw a flyer for a local shelter, and it was asking for food donations. And I thought that that would be a great way for me to help my community. So I started baking food, so cookies and bread, and donating it to the shelter. And that worked until the shelter implemented a no turn away policy, which means that every single person that went to the shelter would get a meal. And it sounds great. Everyone gets a meal, until I realized that everyone gets a meal, but the portions are going to be so much smaller because everyone that comes can now get one. So I kind of realized my 2 dozen cookies coming in weren't going to be enough. So I decided to step up, and I emailed a couple of managers for local restaurants in my area and asked them if they had any unsold food that I could donate to the shelter. And after a couple of them responded, I made the arrangements to pick up their food either before their opening hours or after their closing hours. And now I drop it off at the shelter.
Wow. And do you know if there's an organization in your community that sort of does that already? And you, or did you really start this kind of from scratch, that when you reached out to some of these restaurants, I saw when I was reading about, you know, Chick-fil-A and others, that they didn't have relationships with organizations that did food rescue? I'm so surprised by that. I live in New York City, and there are a number of different food rescue organizations, obviously, because there's so, so many restaurants. But so were they previously throwing all of this food away?
I'm assuming that there's some agency, but I think for a couple of them, the agencies couldn't pick up every day. So they would end up actually throwing that food away. So I'm sure that there was some agency, but I don't think that they picked up every single day.
Wow. Wow. So when you reached out to these restaurants and they said, sure, come on down and pick up the food. So this is 5 years ago. So you weren't driving at the time. So how did you logistically work this out?
Gotta give credit to my mom. She kind of got dragged into that for the first couple of years. I'm a swimmer, and that for swimmers, we have very early mornings. So it kind of worked out well that normally it would be after swim practice. I couldn't drive anyway, so my mom would need to drive me to these practices. And after practice, it would still be like 5:30 to 6 a.m. We'd be able to go to the Panera and pick up the food in the morning. And then as for later at night, I wish I could say I had it like a good reason to kind of stay up late, but swim doesn't really go that late. So it kind of would just be, if there was a pickup, my mom would drive me to the pickup. I would pick it up, and then we'd drop it off normally the next morning.
And what was the reaction of the shelter? Were they sort of overwhelmed by this? I would imagine they would be, because you're a young person who kind of took the reins on something that you would think would have been controlled by the government or local officials or other large NGOs, right? Like, it's sort of amazing to me that you were a kid essentially, and you were kind of filling this big need for them. And it was just the one shelter that you were supporting at that point. Yes. So what was their reaction to all of that?
I'd say they were a little bit overwhelmed at the start, but I think that as time went on, they kind of got used to kind of my schedule with how, I think it was very strange for them one day to just have a kid come and drop boxes and boxes of Panera off. I think that was really strange the first time. But I think now they've gotten a bit more used to it. I think that even if they were a little bit surprised at the start, I still think that they were very grateful that it was being donated. And I think now it's kind of just become a process where I donate the food and it's all taken care of.
Do you see this model potentially being replicated by other people? So someone listening would be like, huh, I could do that in my own community. Is that something you could maybe figure out a way to codify all of this, put it all in a rule book or an instruction manual and share it with others so that they might be able to do it in their own communities?
Yeah, of course. This is actually pretty coincidental. When I dropped my sister off at college, this would have been last year, around a year ago, she goes to college in St. Louis. So it's a little bit far from home, but even there, I was at, I think, Einstein Bagels, and I saw a bag of their bagels, and they weren't like on the shelf, and no one was like going up to them and taking bagels out and putting them on the displays. So I asked them about it, and they said that they were unsold bagels. And I asked them if I could donate it to a shelter that was in St. Louis. And they were like, that's totally perfect. All good. So I ended up picking up those bagels and donating it as soon as we dropped my sister off and I said our final goodbye, sir. So it's definitely replicable for other people to do in their communities as well.
Absolutely. And again, like the fact that you go into the store and you see these bagels in this bag, which is a garbage bag, right? These are day old bagels, right? Or they may even be from the morning and they make more in the evening. And so they consider those like stale or something and they throw them away. The amount of food waste in this country is truly staggering. And I know that the statistics show that if we could just get a handle on food waste, we could actually feed everyone. We have so many people who are hungry and who are food insecure, but so, so much food goes to waste. Do you have a sense of how much you've collected and donated over this period of time?
I think I can confidently say that over the past 5 years, it's been over 1 million meals that I've been able to rescue and divert to the shelter from being.
Wow. I mean, imagine this. You're one person. You're one teenager who's going to school and swim practice with the help of your parents, and you're doing this thing, and you're able to make sure that 1 million meals get to people who need them. Imagine if every single person or, you know, every organization out there in the world could, you know, just do their part, just do one little thing. It could make such a tremendous difference. It's just sort of mind-blowing. Where do you see all of this going for you? You know, you have one more year of high school and then you'll go off to college. Obviously, you'll need to figure out what's going to happen with this process when you're no longer in your community. And hopefully you'll find people to volunteer to keep up the work because it's so important. But do you see yourself, you know, continuing this kind of work in college and beyond? Where do you see this going for you?
Yeah. So the ultimate goal is to not only keep this going, so either find someone, another student, one of my friends that's younger than me that could take over while I'm gone, but also to establish something similar wherever my college may be, whether it be 2 miles down the road, somewhere close to home, or in California on the other side of the US. I want to try and build what I've done here somewhere else. I did it in St. Louis, so that's kind of giving me that little boost, like telling myself, I think I can do it. If I was able to do it in St. Louis, I can probably do it a lot of other places unless they have other people picking up. But if they do, that's even better because it means that other people are also helping. So, but I do want to try and get it not only working, like continuing to work here, but also in a different state.
Absolutely. And on your college campus, this could be a club. You could get other volunteers such that you don't have to do it every single day, right? You're going to be very busy when you're in college, just as you are now. I noticed that you've also been acknowledged by an organization called ReFed, which is a major nonprofit organization that works in the food waste and food recovery sort of space. Can you just tell us a little bit about them and then maybe tell us where people can learn more about this topic and maybe get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I'll take out the easiest question. Where you can research more, I would suggest going to ReFed's page because they have a lot of information on this. And for connecting with me, you can probably just use my LinkedIn. I think that would be easiest. And then as for what ReFed is, ReFed focuses on finding specific points where food waste is the highest. And it focuses on trying to find ways to take that waste and divert it to sources that need it, whether it or not only divert, but also try and reduce it. So, for example, when people buy a lot of groceries and then don't end up using it and they throw it out, ReFed sees this and like gets the statistics on it, and they can say, hey, we think that something that might reduce this waste is to make sure that if you notice something in your fridge that you haven't cooked with in a while, try and cook that so that it doesn't go bad and then you have to throw it out. Or if you don't want to cook with it, just donate it then. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach that they go with not only trying to reduce the food waste itself, but also trying to like solve it at its root. So not just donating, it's also kind of you yourself can also participate in it.
Absolutely. Or if you buy meat or something and you're not going to cook it right away, you put it in the freezer and then you can cook it after you defrost it next week. These are just things that people don't think to do. And then they throw it away and then they go back and buy more meat. That keeps the supermarkets in business, but it isn't particularly good for the environment, right? Well, Andre, this has all been really interesting and so, so important. And I'm just wishing you the best of luck in your senior year. I don't think you're going to need it. I think you're going to do amazing things, but just, you know, you have such a heart for this work and it's just so inspiring. And I hope that everyone listening takes a minute and listens to this and thinks to themselves before they throw food in the trash, right? Or not cooking the food in their own refrigerator, or maybe ordering more than they actually need or want, right? To really kind of be mindful about the food that we're consuming and that we're ordering and that we're throwing away. Thanks so much, Hunter. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
And of course, thank you so much for having me on here. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.